On this portion of the morning show from WRCO, Stacy Kleiss, clerk of Circuit Court here in Richland County, is our guest on the morning show. Stacy, it's been too long since you've been behind a WRCO microphone.
Yeah, I need to be careful. I have to put my filter on.
Yes.
Back on. Remember what the radio filter was.
There you go.
Yeah, I promise to behave and tell no stories.
Okay, yeah. We had a lot of fun, though, back in the day when we were co-workers.
Great times. Yeah. It's definitely a family down here.
Yes, it is. Most definitely. So you have this role. You've been at it for a little while. If I walked in, it would be overwhelming to me. I'm sure it was a learning curve at first.
It was overwhelming to me when I walked in, too, in 2007. You know, I came in from the outside. A lot of clerks of court don't come in that avenue, but some do. In the state, and it's always kind of a pleasure throughout the state to be able to mentor new clerks, especially those that have that perspective, because sometimes the ones that came in through the traditional route of they were in the office may have the opinion that, well, what do these people know? But as I tell everybody, you bring your experience and everything that you've done to this position, and I guarantee you that what you have done in your previous occupations will serve you very well in this role. And I think that having my start in the news and in the community did serve me very well. So I'm thankful for that.
When you give a tour of the courthouse, I know you have some youngsters come through. That's probably the most common question. What do you do?
Yeah, that's what we do isn't as, you know, maybe as like fun and exciting. So we try not to really bore them. And, you know, we focus, we look at the age of the group and focus on what would be most interesting to them. And sometimes it's just telling them fun little history facts about the courthouse that we've come upon, you know, in our work. And, you know, so what we do in a nutshell, you know, it's we take care of the records. We make sure there's an accurate historic record of every circuit court case that ever happens. And we make sure that all of the jurors are in place whenever we need jurors. And honestly, that's probably the point that connects to most of the youth that we talk to, particularly those in high school, because once you're 18 and older and you're a Richland County resident, you're fair game for jury duty. And then you actually get to see what we do. And it's easier to just say, hey, why don't you just come in and see it? And then you'll know, you'll get that sneak peek behind the scenes. Because there's a lot more to it, and it may sound boring to just, we keep the records, we collect the money, you know, we manage the budget. Well, you know, to a teenager, that does not sound very rewarding. But it is. It's very interesting. I have been very thankful to be in the position that I am, because I was always intrigued by court, and you guys knew that. When I was here, I always loved covering court and going to higher profile trials and things like that. But day in, day out, it's more just connecting with the public and helping people navigate the court system, because we are the access point to the courts. You know, like if you said, I've got a problem with XYZ, can I talk to the judge? I'd say, no, Phil.
You read my mind here.
Yeah. Yeah, and I won't go any further with that.
No, that's right.
But there's every case starts with some sort of petitioning document. If it's a traffic ticket, that petitioning document's the ticket that you got from the trooper or from the officer. You know, if it's a criminal case, it's the summons and complaint that brings forth the formal charges. If it's a divorce, it's a petition for divorce. Small claims action, you know, claim for money or claim for eviction. You know, on and on. There's always some sort of petitioning document. So every case has a beginning. Every case has an end. The end is a judgment of some sort. And the clerks of court's job is to manage that judgment, to take the judge's verbal order and put it to paper so that that becomes the historic record. If someone's going to prison today, it's the judgment of conviction that the clerks of court office produced that is going to tell the prison system for how long and what the conditions of the sentence are.
And I would guess not every day is the same, right?
Never, never. And, you know, nobody has to make an appointment to visit our office. Every person that comes up to the window, unless they have an existing case that we're familiar with, we have no idea what question they're going to have. And we just do our best to listen to the question and try to help them.
So. Finding juries too, you know, and in fact, I think I've been summoned a couple of times, but I've never had to serve because, you know, you call in and there wasn't a case, you know what I mean? Yeah. I think that often is the case.
It is. Most things settle without a jury trial. And a common misperception, I think people think that if we have no trials, then that must mean we have no court activity. And that can't be further from the truth. There is court activity every single day. And so a case, if it settles, what probably has happened is that it's had a series of hearings through which the two sides, the opposing sides, have disclosed their information to each other. They've talked with each other to see if there's any common ground that may be in a civil case. You know, maybe they're going to collectively decide on what they're going to agree on for a claim, or in a divorce, what they're going to agree on for a custody arrangement. In a criminal case, maybe that's a discussion between the prosecution and the defense of, here's the charges, here's the evidence we have. And the defense saying, well, yeah, we do agree that the client is, you know, there's this, we would agree to this type of a charge or something. And if the prosecution, you know, says, yes, that's the victims are satisfied with that. The victims are an important role in a criminal process. If all the parties believe this is a proper disposition and everyone can forego the pains of a jury trial, then that is what they do. And then we end up having a plea and sentencing hearing. And, you know, sometimes those hearings are quite long, and the victims have an opportunity to address the accused, and the two parties present their sides, and the judge rules according to the law on the sentence. And that's more common what happens in most, not just in this county, but in every county throughout Wisconsin.
I guess you get the summons, and then, you know, a lot of people probably, do they try to get out of it, or are people excited when they get
For jury duty?
What's the reaction?
Maybe they may be excited, but not in a favorable way. For the jury process, right now what we're doing is we're building a pool in our office for next year. So there's going to be about 1,000 residents in the county that receive a jury qualification questionnaire from us. We'll get a lot of phone calls on that. People will say, you know, I don't live in the county. Then fill it out, send it back. One of the questions is, are you a resident? You select no, you put what your address is now, and you're done. My health is bad. I don't feel this is a great time for me to serve. What do I do? Call your physician, get a letter from the doctor, and send that letter back with your filled out questionnaire, and we'll excuse you from the year. No questions asked. People will say, a few will say, I'm a convicted felon. I had a felony, you know, back in the 80s. And we'll ask, have you served your sentence? Are you done with your jail or prison or probation? And if they say yes, then cool. Then you are an eligible juror, which then maybe, not cool. But yeah, not everybody is excited to learn that, but that's one of the civil rights that gets restored, that along with a person's right to vote. And sometimes people have found out by serving jury duty that here for decades they haven't been voting, because they thought they couldn't. They were a convicted felon. And so at some point, they weren't given the communication or misplaced the communication, maybe just didn't understand that the only right that was permanently taken away from them was the right to bear arms. So they cannot possess a firearm, but they most certainly can do jury duty and they can vote. And we've had people sitting in the jury box during the questioning that's when the epiphany came, and it's like, so I could have been voting for the last 20 years. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
A lot of times, you know, TVs and movies glamorize the courtroom, you know? I mean, I'm not sure if we have that in Richland County or not, but you've had some high-profile cases.
We have. And to be honest, we recently had a homicide case that I would say had all of the elements of what you would expect to see on TV. I mean, it was very interesting. It was very hard fought between both prosecution and defense. Just very, very interesting with a collection of evidence and testimony, all of it. It was something what you would have seen probably on the screen, but often that's not the case. Still, very few people walk away from jury duty saying, well, that wasn't interesting. I think the insight to the process and to the justice system is really, you know, we hear so much and see so much now on social media about, you know, the courts, everybody, just like people do with the media. And you and I both know that we cringe when people say the media isn't balanced or this and that. Well, what media? What level? What are you talking about? And I know that, you know, just as you guys strive for accuracy always here, the courts strive for fairness and for, you know, the discovery of all the actual facts and evidence. And that's what they rule on. Later this fall, in about a month, Richland County is going to have justice on wheels at our courthouse. And that's when the Wisconsin Supreme Court visits a county courthouse and does their cases for a day there. When that happens, people will have a chance to see. Oh my goodness, I am so sorry.
That's all right.
I was going to have that. That's so bad.
No problem.
And the worst part?
You're always on call.
I'm not. I shouldn't be. I'm so sorry. When the Supreme Court comes, people will see that the Supreme Court, no matter what its makeup, whatever people's political backgrounds and affiliations are, that doesn't come into the decisions that are being made, at least not in the cases that are going to be before the court that day. Mm-hmm. And so I think if people would take the opportunity to maybe visit a courthouse, watch some hearings, whether it's that day or just a normal day with our own court, that they would realize this isn't their perceptions maybe are being tainted by social media. Social media is not the best place to get your news.
Very definitely. I would agree. Justice on Wheels, October 27th. So what can you tell us a little bit more about that and what it means to the community?
So up until COVID, it's my understanding, the Wisconsin Supreme Court would come to a Wisconsin county like once a year or whatever and hear their oral arguments in cases that are in front of their court. So people in that county would have a chance to see what normally would only be done down at the state capitol, down at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. But when they come to the counties, they use your courtroom as their courtroom for the day. So that all got suspended during COVID. They weren't going out to the county. So it's been a good 4 years or so since they've done that. And when they picked up and said, hey, we want to start doing this again, they chose Richland County to do it, which I think is a real honor to us that we're doing that. It presents a few logistical challenges, but in our courthouse, which are all things that we're taking care of to make sure that the day goes as it needs to and that we have capacity for everybody who wants to come in. Everybody's going to be able to see the arguments. So the justices will arrive in the morning. They'll go into the courtroom. They will be seated right there in our courtroom like our judge would. And then they'll hear arguments from the attorneys that are presenting cases to them.
What is your role that day then?
To sit back and watch like everybody else. They have their own clerk. So, and actually the clerk of the Wisconsin Supreme Court is a good friend of mine, Sam Christensen. He was the clerk of court in Racine County. And he and I served together as officers in the Wisconsin Clerks of Circuit Court Association. He was actually my vice president when I was the president of the association. And then he got the role as the clerk of the Supreme Court and of the Court of Appeals. So Sam will be with us that day. Folks will have a chance to meet him, but he takes care of the records that need to be done, that role, that records supporting role to the justices, like we would do with our own circuit court. So my role is to help coordinate things for the day. I'm working with staff from down at the Capitol and from the Supreme Court, and and the Capitol Police, and the sheriff is working with them, and our maintenance crew is working with them, and our IT people are working with them to make sure that we can pull this off without a hitch.
So. Speaking of the state capitol, I think you're on your way a little bit later on today. Can you talk about what you'll be doing today?
Later this morning, there's going to be some discussion in at committee level on some bills that affect court finances at the county level. So the Wisconsin Clerks of Circuit Court have become, I don't know if you say, we're not lobbyists. We have become more vocal at a legislative level in the last few years. We're really fighting to get more funding for the counties at the court level, because the circuit courts are a state and county partnership. And when I think of a partnership, I think of 50-50. And I think that was the original intent. But over the years, what has happened is it's just become kind of lopsided, maybe to the point of a 80-20, and that may be a generous, that 20%, that might be a generous amount coming back to the counties. It may be closer to 10. So of when fees and surcharges and all of those things are addressed by the Wisconsin legislature and they're set, if when I say somebody gets a traffic ticket, the majority of that money that they end up paying goes to the state of Wisconsin. Very little of it comes to the county. Even the fees for filing cases, very little of that stays with the county. A portion does. But the idea of the legislation that we're trying to affect is that any increases in any of the fees would be for the counties. Right now, we need that balance to try to shift closer back to a 50-50. We were successful as an association earlier in the year. We actually got more money for the counties from the state budget. And I think $10 million was the additional money that then is split between all 72 counties, and counties much larger than us, of course, get a much larger share of that. But that is in the circuit court support payment that we get every year. A lot of people at the county board level, when I told them we were doing this, you know, I heard comments of, "Well, good luck." And, you know, "There's not even going to be a budget, Stacy." And I said, "Well, we'll see. Thanks." And so we forge forward as a clerk of court association. Some of us who have been at this for a while, you know, are pretty confident in what we do and what it all means. And so we were making various trips to the Capitol, meeting with our lawmakers. Representative Tony Kurtz was a godsend. He really helped us through this. He kind of coached us of, you know, "You guys have a good message, but here's some things that you need to do, you know, to make it stronger. It sounds like you're already working with the Wisconsin Counties Association. That's great. Keep doing that." So that was the biggest piece, was when the Wisconsin Counties Association said, "Hey, this isn't right that counties are only getting 20% or less of all of these things." They made court funding for the counties their number one priority in the budget session. And that was huge. Having the Wisconsin Counties Association back us, that was big. So on Monday, I had the privilege of presenting at the Wisconsin Counties Association conference with three of my colleagues, three other clerks of court. Two were from large counties, and two of us were from small counties. And we led a panel about what we do as clerks of court. And we've decided we need to be a little bit more present with these things, there's always work to do every day at the office and the courtroom, but we can't ignore that we have work to do to legislate for our counties, because we just can't ignore the funding at the state level. So, and at that point, Phil, and I know I could just like talk forever, sorry, but I must do a shout out right now to Sarah Earhart and DJ Adams. Sarah is my chief deputy at the clerk of court's office, and DJ is our deputy clerk. And those guys do heavy lifting every day, and I don't think that they get the recognition that they deserve. And they're working down there while I'm here with you, and they'll be working down there while I'm down at the Capitol too. So Sarah and DJ, thank you guys. And I hope the powers that be at the county realize what valuable assets those two are.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, none of our counties are doing that well financially. I know it's been well said. Richland is struggling. And another thing you talked about is the facilities. I mean, it's a historic courthouse and courtroom, and I love history, but it's kind of serving its purpose, isn't it?
Yes. And it is beautiful, and it's old, and technically it's not, you know, if you equate old with historic, yes, but as far as registered as historic, no. And that is because of the modifications that were done like in the 70s and 80s.
Oh, sure.
Including to like the roof line and all of that kind of stuff. So we're not under any like historic preservation guidelines when we do things, but it's a challenge every time that we do have to make modifications to accommodate like Zoom. We have one courtroom that is set up for it, one that is not. And that might sound like not a big deal, but we often have two judges presiding at one time. Even though we're a one-judge county, we will have visiting judges on our cases. And that happens for a multitude of reasons. But they have to come to Richland County or Zoom to Richland County whenever their calendars allow. So what happens in the small courtroom is that if we have a visiting judge and we have parties that are appearing by Zoom, or maybe parties that are like in the prison system. So to avoid an expensive transport or the security issues related to that, that person may be appearing electronically by Zoom. While perhaps the large courtroom where our main judge is, where Judge McDougall is, they need the Zoom as well because they have similar situations to that. So then in the small courtroom, we don't have the ability to make those connections. Sometimes we have situations where we have defendants or other individuals in cases having to come up a couple feet from the judge with no barriers in between, trying to speak into a device. I don't know what you would call them, where you have multiple people on the phone call. I'm not an IT person, clearly.
Like a conference call of some
sort.
Yeah,
like a conference call, you know. And then you have the court reporter who's over further on the side of the room saying, I can't hear this. I can't pick this up. So it's not making the record. These are all problems. You have the security. You have the sound system. In that room, the air registers don't work great. So it's feast or famine as far as hot and cold. And so when it's beastly hot and the air conditioning needs to run in there, we have to shut those registers off because they're so loud that we can't get and we can't make an actual record. I mean, these are basic problems, you know. And of course, you know, the bats in the courthouse, which really are a big deal. That's a, you know, public health thing. Mm-hmm. It's common to have bat dung on our desk in the courtroom and things. And we had a bat flying around during that jury trial, actually. You know, hopefully we don't have any bats or any other vermin during the Justice on Wheels Day. Mm-hmm. That would be bad. Those kind of things, we joke about them in Richland because we're so used to them. But they're really not cool, and we could do better, I think.
You've never had a media frenzy case since you've been there?
No. Part of that is because we're, except for having local media, we're kind of in a media desert because of our distance from Madison and La Crosse. So we have had cases that are definitely worthy of having large media there. I can picture scenes of things happening in the courtroom and on those types of cases, and with nobody except for WRCO in the courtroom. So I think that's part of it. If we were a little closer to Madison or La Crosse, I bet they'd be in the courtroom quite often.
The only thing that we've had in terms of a media frenzy is when they located Mr. Jakubowski that one time, I remember here getting calls from CNN and whoever it was, Fox and everybody else calling, confirming, you know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, we got kind of inundated that day, but that was as close as we came.
Well, the clerk of court's office at the beginning of a case, like when somebody's first arrested in something high profile, often the media outlets, particularly from Madison, will be contacting us and getting copies of the complaint and making requests to the judge to set up cameras and audio in the courtroom. And then if you notice, they'll when they do that, often they'll take some video of a person sitting at the table or being brought in shackles into the courtroom. Every time then after that they put that story on the air, it will be that same footage. So pretty much they get their clip early on, and then they just, you know, have it as stock, and they use it. And so I think that's the other reason that, you know, we don't often, you know, see them again after that point.
Interesting stuff. Well, we wish you well today. Good
Thank
luck
you.
in your quest to get the county a little bit more. And that's
Thank you.
A great
yeah,
thing.
We need it. We need that luck. And if anybody out there gets a jury qualification questionnaire, don't freak out. It doesn't mean that you're being summoned. It's to build the pool for next year. And we'll provide Phil with a link that will help you fill that out electronically, which saves you time, which saves you postage, and, you know, it saves your time. It'll save time on our end, and we really appreciate everyone who serves as jurors. The justice system could not operate without you, because not everything can be resolved without a jury trial, and so jurors play a very important role in the American justice system.
So you said you'll be looking for about 1,000 different residents for the jury pool then, or sending that many out anyway?
We'll be sending out, I think it's like 1,025 is what we ended up getting this year. We ask the state court to help get us the jurors. It comes from an interface with the Department of Transportation. So the state court records are tied to the Department of Transportation records, not to voting records. Still, some people think that's not true. So anybody that has a Wisconsin driver's license or a Wisconsin ID, photo ID, you're fair game. You're in their system, in the DOT system. So when we ask for a batch of names, I think this year I said, hit us with like 1,300, knowing that there will be a shrink factor in there, because then their system automatically is throwing out people that they know live in other counties that now are deceased. That also somehow it catches if they had prior jury service. But for a lot of things, it won't catch all of that. It just can't. And so that's why the qualification process is so important. But this year, from whatever we asked for, 1,200, 1,300, I don't remember, we netted 1,025. So we'll send those 1,025 out. We'll probably end up with a pool of 800 or so jurors for next year. And so each month when we summons like 50, 60 people, the system will randomly select through those 800 people. But if you never get a qualification questionnaire, you are never going to be summoned for jury duty.
Good to know. So, yeah. Fascinating stuff. We'll have you back, and you know, we have a lot more things we can talk about.
Stacey. That would be awesome.
Yeah. Appreciate you coming in today.
Thank you so much, Phil. Thanks for the time. Thanks for having me on.
Richland County Circuit Court Clerk, that is Stacey Kleiss, joining us here on WRCO Radio. We have more coming up on The Morning Show.